Council Keelan, please call the roll.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan. Gonzalez.
Say here, Gonzalez.
Renee, you're up. Here.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Now we're here from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum.
Portland City Council. To testify before council, in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with City Council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Great, thank you. First up is item number 82, a non-emergency ordinance.
Add utility operators code to govern utility access and use of the city right-of-way and adopt fee schedule for utilities operating in the city right-of-way.
Non-emergency ordinance, Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, back in June, we first heard the ordinance streamlining our right-of-way management for our first reading. At that time, we heard significant feedback from industries on the matter. As you'll recall, I requested that the ordinance be removed from the agenda for a second reading and referred back to BPS staff to make necessary changes to the code that addressed industry needs. So I'm happy to report that staff have engaged with these stakeholders to make code edits that balance both the specific industry needs and the needs of the city. The ordinance before us today applies to all of right-of-way users with the exception of wireless companies. Staff have addressed wireless companies' concerns that have been raised since June in the following ways. For this item, we bifurcated wireless companies out of Chapter 12.15. Also, Bureau staff with stakeholder input have drafted a scope of work for a small wireless fee analysis, which will soon lead to an RFP being issued for a third party to conduct that cost analysis. And we've also reduced the small wireless fee down to the FCC safe harbor rate until the final cost study results are known. These wireless changes have helped create a pathway for all other users of the right-of-way to move forward under the code before us today. At the completion of the small wireless cost study, staff will return to council with a new wireless section of code and an updated small wireless fee that's based on the results from the cost study. Before us today is Chapter 12.15, which adds a new chapter to our city codes, which will allow city staff the ability to more efficiently administer access to the right-of-way and have regulatory provisions that treat all users in a fair and transparent manner. This effort has been a multi-year process that has included significant engagement with parties and changes. And most recently, BPS staff have collaborated with 4 industry groups to draft the code changes that specifically address policy and operational concerns raised by parties this past June. And before we move to the presentation, I want to stress some key points with you on the implementation of the code. First, this code is not making changes to the fees or fee structures from what is in place currently. Second, companies that have current franchise agreements will continue to operate under their franchise agreements until the expiration date. Only after the expiration date will they be subject to the new row code. Third, this code mimics closely the same language and provisions that exist in current franchise agreements. And then last, Licensees who currently pay on 5% of gross revenues will remain the same in this code. My bureau staff have worked collaboratively with parties to make edits to address policy issues raised and give additional clarity in both the code and the administrative rules, and I want to thank them for their diligence and good work in getting us to where we are today. I will now turn it over to Director Olivera and Andrew Spear to present the ordinance in more detail.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Council, Mayor, Director Donnie Olivera, BPS, for the record. So just to follow up on Commissioner Rubio's comments, I just want to start by acknowledging the time and energy that went into working with our industry partners to ensure that we were clear and objective about our process, and also ensuring that we were responsive to the conversations from last summer. As Commissioner Rubio alluded to, we are going to be bifurcating this process to one, ensure that the code in for you today is clear and objective and meets the needs of the industries that are represented within it, and two, so that we can continue with the cost study to ensure that we have a clear understanding for the costs associated with the wireless community. At the conclusion of the cost study, of course, we'll come back with a second part of the code. And as also referenced, just as a reminder, this ordinance is really designed to increase administrative efficacies. We want to ensure that all users of the right-of-way have a uniform and transparent process and code from which to operate their business in the right-of-way. Because as we all know, we've heard it many times now, the right-of-way is the city's largest physical asset. It's an asset the city manages on behalf of the people of Portland. And I want to ensure that this code and what it's memorializing is a system that is objective, but also provides certainty to our business users. Because in the end, what we're talking about is revenue for our city, but it's also an asset that needs to be regulated, managed, and also available to take the best and brightest of our ideas from our companies. If not for the legal access to the right-of-way, many services in our city would not be economic or logistically available. So the right-of-way code really is giving the city a uniform document that governs the requirements to access the right-of-way, but also how we prioritize the key uses that we want to see today and beyond. As technologies evolve, we want to make sure that our right-of-way is adaptable and responsive. It is a priority of myself and staff to ensure that the code protects the right-of-way as an asset, but while also ensuring that we're continually listening and learning. And last but not least, I want to pass it to my colleague, Andrew Spear, who is our new franchise utility manager at BPS. And he's going to walk us through the code, the specific provisions within the code, and also kind of explain the stakeholder engagement that occurred to get us where we are today and sort of the pathways of why we're here now and what comes next. Since September, actually, Andrew's had many direct engagement with specific industries in this particular code and has made updates to the code to address some of their concerns. And at the end of the day, we bring our policy for your consideration that reflects our right-of-way code recommendations. And with that, I'll turn it to Andrew.
Thank you, Donnie. My name is Andrew Spear, and I'm the Franchise Utility Program Manager for Bureau of Planning Sustainability. I'm going to provide you all with a short presentation, and then we'll be available for questions. I will share my screen. So I wanted to call to attention just the parentheses down below, just that this is a right-of-way code that is not subject to wireless utilities or wireless companies. And so I'll get to more detail on that in coming slides. Again, as Director Olivera mentioned, this is the right-of-way is our city's largest asset and makes up roughly 20% of the city in terms of land mass. And rough value estimate is $13 billion. And that is held in trust. That asset is held in trust by us as city officials. We manage the access to the right-of-way through contracts with companies. And as part of those contracts, we receive fair compensation for use of right-of-way assets. So how have we managed right-of-way access previously? Up until this point, we've either gone with two methods, and that is a franchise agreement, which is a one-to-one contract between a company or utility and the city or a jurisdiction. And then we have a chapter within our current code, chapter 7.14, which is the utility license fee, which sets out a 5% of gross revenue fee that is paid for services for companies that have assets in the right-of-way. But chapter 7.14 does not call out the specific actions and requirements companies are to abide by while operating in the right-of-way. And so the right-of-way code is helping us to memorialize those parts of the franchise agreement into code. And why do we need this at this time, and what is its impact? So the revenues received under the program that I manage recover $85 to $90 million annually from payers. And so we're moving away from having one-off contracts and one consolidated code. And then that will ensure that we're having uniform requirements and uniform understanding of operations in the right-of-way. And this next slide is just to demonstrate again what the purpose is. And in italics, I'll let you read the kind of overarching goal and what its impacts will be. And then, you know, the bullets below just describe how it's impacting us as staff and utilities. So administrative burden lessened both on us as staff and then administering with our partners, our company partners who use the right of way. Level playing field that was described earlier by the commissioner and the director in terms of having one unified code that really lays out all the rules of the road in a transparent manner. With the franchise agreements, they are public documents and available, but you can have certain provisions that are included in one but not included in the other. For instance, you could have one for PGE that has certain operating requirements that have nothing to do with any operations of right-of-way or access that wouldn't be in Pacific Powers, for example. And so you can have some nuanced things that create an unfair advantage or unfair playing field. And then fair compensation, again, we're memorializing in the fee schedules under this code, the various fees depending on payer type for what assets are included. And then one thing that I've been prioritizing since coming to the city is ensuring that our audit and our compliance process are becoming up to speed and applied uniformly. And so this code goes a long ways in helping me and my group to achieve that. And I think is a good use of kind of the fees that this program recovers, ensuring its consistency and continuity over time. This slide is just to, again, capture some of the specific provisions that this code, Chapter 12.15, are not doing. And we're not, again, some of these have been mentioned already, but I want to reinforce them. We're not setting new fees. We're not changing the level of that $85 to $90 million of revenue recovered under this program. We're not changing that drastically. There's no fees change in a material way. Access fees for work in the right-of-way, this code and our bureau does not govern or maintain the right-of-way. That is with PBOT. And so we're not in that portion of operations. We are only, the only purpose of this code is to ensure the legal access to the right-of-way. And then also with regards to financial compensation for maintenance, again, that's a PBOT function that this code does not cover. And then advantages for single utility, well, again, this is to level the playing field and create a standardized code and standardized rules of the road for becoming and operating in the right-of-way. And again, does not apply to wireless companies. These next slides will lay out the stakeholder engagement that I've done since September 1. In September 1, we held a stakeholder workshop following the last June's council meeting where we presented originally the right-of-way code. From that workshop in September, we had all industries present in that, and it was a way for us to address specific concerns. And I've outlined the sub bullets here of around the four industry groups that we had I had most stakeholder engagements with and made edits for. And then I'll describe in the next slide the specific pathways for wireless, just as for detail and transparency purpose. But for the core utilities, they were most interested in, as some of you might recall, the definition of gross revenues and ensuring that it was consistent with how utilities calculate gross revenues for rate making purposes with the Oregon Public Utilities Commission. So we made an edit there to include the definition of gross revenues and to be consistent with what is used by the Public Utilities Commission and that's an OAR here for the state of Oregon. For telecom companies, we had not included them as a section for industry specific section within the code. So worked with them directly and added in a large red line edit to include them. They also have, as wired telephone companies, have specific provisions that they fall under that are unique for state of Oregon statute and law. So those laws were memorialized in the code as well. Pipeline companies and oil and gas, we made some adjustments to their section to memorialize their specific pay types for interstate pipeline providers. They have a modified gross revenue calculation that we inserted language for. And then we also made some adjustments on language for their specific section that was the removal of some citations to other codes and ordinances. And then lastly, the commercial fiber. Commercial fiber is fiber companies that are not internet service providers. And so they are more like a point-to-point transmission of other commercial services for other companies. And so leased fiber is a lot of times their model, their business model. And so they were most concerned with the transition from a franchise agreement onto the code and ensuring that the footage that they pay on is memorialized under the code. And so we, at the very tail end of Exhibit A, which is the chapter code, we memorialized the section in there for them specifically to ensure that unless they've identified and we work with them to change that footage will be memorialized going forward under the code. And just specifics, we had a 2-week comment period and made some small edits given that comment period. And next is just that description around the wireless path forward. So again, they're not subject to this code, chapter 12.15. We are underway on completing a scope of work for a wireless cost study, as the commissioner referenced at the top. And then we are including them in a separate section that will come before council in a future date. And so I envision like a 12.16, for instance, will be the wireless section of code. And the wireless section of code will include a fee schedule that will be for macro sites, which is not part of the cost study for this. And then small cell fee sites will be what the cost study is identifying as the fees that will come forward to council also in a future date. This next slide is just to memorialize some of what I covered at the top two slides ago, where we added an industry section for telephone, gross revenue definition that clearly states and is consistent with the OAR that utilities do rate making under with the Oregon PUC, clarity on per foot payers and pipeline providers, namely interstate pipeline providers, and wireless companies not falling under this section. And then as the commissioner referenced from the AM session, the reduction of the small cell fee down to the FCC's safe harbor rate. And then what is before you for approval under a second reading? Under this ordinance, Exhibit A is the code itself, which is a new chapter to the city's code, chapter 12. And then this is adopting chapter 12.15, the section. And then Exhibit B is the fee schedule, which outlines the gross revenue fees, which are 5% of gross revenue predominantly, and then per foot payers and nominal admin fees that will be for license and registration under the program and the code. And that concludes my slide deck, and I'll stop sharing and welcome to take any questions.
All right, very good. Colleagues, any questions at this point about the presentation that we just heard? Not seeing any hands raised, do we have public testimony on this item?
No one signed up, Mayor.
All right, very good. Excellent presentation. It was thorough. Thank you. Easy to follow. This is a non-emergency ordinance. This is the first reading. It moves to second reading. Next item, please. Number 83, which is a continuation of our planning and zoning code adoption.
Mayor, that's 3 p.m. start time.
Oh, you're right. Okay, good. Great. We all have a little bit of time to kill then. So if nobody has any great jokes that you'd like to share publicly, We are in recess until 3 p.m.
I'm just checking with the council clerk to make sure that our audio is coming through.
Yep, you sound good, Phil.
Great.
All right, it is 3 p.m., folks. We are back in session. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, we're on item number 83, a non-emergency ordinance.
And the planning zoning code to adopt temporary suspensions and permanent clarifications to development and process regulations as part of the housing regulatory relief project.
Colleagues, today we're voting on the amended documents for the housing regulatory relief project. We will now welcome Phil Mamini with BPS to go over the amended documents. Welcome, Phil. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I think I'm here for the third week in a row to kind of wrap things up a little bit here on the Housing Regulatory Relief Project. And we just have a quick kind of slide to key things up here. But just want to remind folks, you know, we had the hearing on January 10th. We came back on the 17th to discuss several amendments that commissioners had put forward. And go ahead and do next slide, Keelan. And so one of the things that came out of that session on the 17th was that there were three amendments that were accepted by the City Council to augment the Planning Commission's recommendation. And as a result of those amendments, we did have to go back and make some slight amendments to our ordinance just to acknowledge in the directive that we're referring to these amended drafts. And then the two exhibits that we had, Exhibit A, which is the findings of the fact, and Exhibit B, which is actually the recommended draft that came out of the Planning Commission. So for Exhibit B, we incorporated the code amendments and the commentary that were agreed upon last week into that draft, as well as kind of amended some of the introductory pages for that. And then for Exhibit A, we made some changes to the findings document to address those amendments, especially things related to the inclusionary housing, because that was something that wasn't addressed as much in the previous findings document. So we are basically bringing those forward to you to accept and approve, so that we have everything up to date. And that's all I have to present.
All right, good. That's short and to the point. Colleagues, first of all, can I get a motion to amend the Housing Regulatory Relief Finding and Recommended Draft?
So moved. So moved.
Commissioner Mapps moves. And who is that who seconded? Was that Commissioner Gonzalez?
Second, yeah.
Commissioner Gonzalez seconds. Is there any further discussion on the motion? If so, please raise your hand. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Sorry, no, I misunderstood what you were saying. All good.
Oh, okay. Anybody have any further questions or comments? Please call the roll on the amendment.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Mapps.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So the motion passes. Colleagues, this item is now passed to a second reading, and it's continued to January 31st, 2024. At 9:45 a.m. time certain. Thank you. That concludes today's meeting. Keelan, anything else?
Nope.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We are adjourned.